State officials knew at least 6 months ago that the salmon farm that collapsed the other week was on its last legs. Corrosion and metal fatigue had damaged the floating steel structure. Even so, the state agreed to let the fish farm grow a full load of 3 million pounds of Atlantic salmon in an area swept by strong currents. John Ryan with our politics team brings us this KUOW investigation.
The revelations about accelerating corrosion and metal fatigue come from a company proposal to replace its aging fish farm off Cypress Island. Cook Aquaculture's permit application from February says the floating steel pens were near the end of their serviceable life. It explains that the constant effects of salt water, wave energy, and tidal currents had taken their toll on the 16-year-old farm. We've got a copy of the application up at KUOW.org.
You can see in the application the reasons that we wanted to get this work done.
Chuck Brown is a spokesperson for Cook Aquaculture. The Canadian company has fish farms on three continents.
The system was ready to be replaced. Unfortunately, we didn't get the work done before this incident occurred.
This incident was a maritime industrial disaster. More than 160,000 Atlantic salmon made a jailbreak. They've been swimming throughout Puget Sound and beyond. Some of them have gotten as far as the outer coast of Vancouver Island. That's 150 miles away. One bit of good news for wild salmon, so far the 10-pound predators from another part of the planet don't appear to be eating anything. Their stomachs have been empty when they're caught. But why did this disaster happen? Officials blamed it on big tides and currents. But the currents that pushed the fish farm off its anchors in July and destroyed it a month later weren't exceptional. What was different was all the extra weight the fish farm had put on. By August, the 300,000 fast-growing salmon were nearly ready for market.
That stocking number would be very normal for that site.
That was Chuck Brown again. His company received state permission this spring to grow the full 3.1 million pound load of salmon on its farm. At least seven different agencies have a finger in regulating salmon farms in Washington.
You need permission from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Coast Guard, the Food and Drug Administration, the Washington Department of Fish and
Wildlife. Joe Smiley is a spokesperson for the Washington Department of Natural Resources.
Everybody's looking at these facilities as they're permitted and moved and upgraded.
Yet nobody kept Cook Aquaculture from filling its damaged fish farm up to the gills. Smiley says the company's request to replace its floating platforms didn't make DNR rethink this year's operations.
In their application to us, they said they weren't planning to replace these until after this year's harvest.
I'm just wondering, given that the state learned about corrosion and other structural problems there, was it prudent to let it be loaded to that full 3.1 million pounds?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we're investigating with our sister agencies right now.
I asked Chuck Brown with Cook Aquaculture the same question.
Obviously, in light of what happened, you know, we know a lot more now than we did before August 19th, but we had full confidence in the system.
DNR had inspected the Cypress Island farm last September, and it heard about the company's plan to replace the farm with a new, stronger one. But the DNR inspector wasn't looking for structural damage.
You know, it's one of those things, we don't have a whole lot of structural engineers on staff to go out and inspect our lease facilities.
DNR oversees 5,000 leases in state waters, everything from marinas to oyster farms.
So we really rely on them to make sure that their facility is in good shape and doesn't fall apart. It's in their best interest and ours.
DNR has told the company it expects structural inspections of its seven remaining fish farms as soon as the big Atlantic salmon spill is under control. In Seattle, I'm John Ryan, KUOW News.